I'm author and athlete Brad Kearns. Welcome to the Be Rad Podcast, where we explore ways to pursue peak performance with passion throughout life. Visit bradkearns.com for great resources on healthy eating, exercise, and lifestyle. And here we go with the show. Do not judge, do not defend, and do not argue. Ever, right? Says Dave Rossi. What do you mean? Can we do that sometimes, Dave? Not if we want to be happy, right? I want to discuss the incredible benefits of red light therapy and how you can get started with Mito Red Light. Mito, like mitochondria, red light makes the premier light therapy devices in the world and at incredibly affordable prices. I stand in front of my Mito Pro 1500 unit every morning, carefully exposing my eyeballs, other important balls, and my entire body to special wavelengths of red and near-infrared light. When I tell people about my daily devotion to red light therapy, they typically ask, does this stuff really work? And the answer is yes, and there are thousands of studies supporting its effectiveness. Here's how. It's called photobiomodulation, where specific wavelengths of red and near-infrared light, red's visible, near-infrared is not visible, that's why it looks like only half of your panel's working, these wavelengths help mitochondria in cells throughout your body produce more energy and clear waste products more efficiently. Red light exposure helps mobilize nitric oxide trapped in the mitochondria and allows oxygen to return to the cell and increase ATP production. The benefits are proven again and again for skin health, muscle recovery, joint pain, and numerous inflammatory conditions. Red light therapy is also beneficial for circadian rhythm alignment, because we generally get far too little direct sunlight and too much indoor blue light from screens and light bulbs at the wrong times. You don't hear much about this benefit of red light therapy, but when I turn on those lights first thing in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I walk across the hall, I stand in front of the panels, and I feel instantly awake and energized. And believe me, there's a lot of days where Mr. Health Guy here wakes up feeling a little groggy and a little whiny, like I don't want to get up now and get into my morning exercise routine. But when I stand in front of the lights, in 1 minute, I swear I feel wide awake. I get all that grogginess out naturally. It's super powerful, super effective. Besides all the healing and the cellular benefits, I also love it for being a natural wake-up machine. You have to try red light therapy. I am certain that you will become a devoted user. And guess what? Mito Red Light offers a 60-day no-risk trial period and a special 5% discount for Be Rad podcast listeners. Just visit Mito Red Light, M-I-T-O, redlight.com, and use the code BRAD on any of their products. Go for it today and get started on your red light journey.
What could be better than a breather inspired by one of my favorite podcast guests and close friend, Dave Rossi? And it's a checklist to evolve to the next level of personal growth and self-awareness. He wants us to apply this checklist in as many conversations or situations as you can to move yourself eventually to the next level through hard work and repetition. So we're going to go through these 7 items on the checklist. I'm going to add some color commentary, and boy, it's going to be really easy to understand, I think easy to implement. It just takes a matter of awareness and practice, but going by these 7 tips and perhaps replaying this podcast frequently, if it grabs you, I love this stuff, and I think it's helpful to listen to over and over. So number one, let's say we have the example of a potentially contentious conversation with your romantic partner, loved one, family, friend, or a work situation. Number one is to stop and grab the moment in time at the onset of whatever stimulus it is, the onset of the conversation. This requires committed practice that leads to the construction of new neural pathways in our brain that allow us to stop and not react, not get triggered, but rather to process, plan, and think. Yes, it's a tough one. That's the definition of being triggered, is losing your shit, right? And reacting with an emotional outburst rather than keeping calm, cool, and collected, processing, planning, and thinking. One thing I will note here, my observation is that one of the good things about aging is I believe I'm making some progress in this area, having been through situations 10, 15, 20 times. Here I go arguing with my boss again about the same shit. And so on this one, I'm going to stop and not react, but rather process, plan, and think. So I think that wisdom, that expanded perspective from getting older can be helpful here. But of course, at all ages, we can implement our skills and stay focused and grab that moment in time. I think it's absolutely critical, essential as a parent to model this type of behavior instead of getting triggered and reactive, to process, plan, and think about an appropriate response. Remember that it's sort of an unbalanced encounter here, because somebody's a child or an adolescent, even not a fully formed human with all the life experience and wisdom and perspective. And so you're obligated to keep your cool and to process, plan, and think rather than get into a reactive, dysfunctional situation. And by doing so, you are modeling that behavior to your child so that they may rise up the rankings to become an adult and model that behavior to future generations. And this, in doing so, will break this cycle of dysfunctional family dynamics, dysfunctional communication dynamics in general in the world. Dr. Deepak Chopra, a great philosopher, author, mind-body medicine expert, he contends that society is doomed unless we turn down the violence. And when we hear a quote like that, usually we think, yes, we got to stop these wars in Ukraine. It's terrible what Russia's doing, whatever, whatever. But he also makes the point that violence exists at all levels of society, and emotional violence inside a seemingly happy, well-adjusted, well-balanced nuclear family. But those little pot shots and side comments and dismissive comments by the parent or disrespectful behavior, all these things are forms of emotional violence that need to be snuffed out if future society is to have a chance to thrive and go beyond. And so I love that assignment to the parent. The parent is obligated to keep one's cool so that you can model this behavior with difficult parent-child dynamics. That's just one example. Of course, in love relationship, at least one party out of the two is obligated to rise above dysfunctional communication dynamics and process, plan, and think about a response rather than go back into triggered program behavior and emotional outburst reaction. Okay, so number two is observe the emotions. Determine the emotion and the thought driving it. I love Dan Millman's add-on here, the great New Age author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior and many, many other similar follow-up books, where he instructs us to treat our emotions like the passing of the clouds, like the weather patterns. And so, hey, here comes some more dark clouds. You're feeling angry, upset, anxious, whatever it is. A storm is coming, but you have a little bit of distance. So you're not completely consumed by your anger, but you're injecting a bit of self-awareness. So you're kind of looking up into the sky, looking at those clouds and seeing that as your actual life and the anger, which too shall pass, as the saying goes, and your emotions certainly shall pass. But if you can get a little distance away from the emotion by looking at it, observing it without judgment, and determining the thought driving it. So anger is, what's the saying is, anger is sadness repressed, or sadness is repressed anger. Sorry, that's backwards. And so we can kind of reason with these things and realize where they're coming from. That will give you more self-awareness. So next on the list is accept things for what they are before responding. See how these all tie together nicely? So you're going to plan, process, and think at first. And as part of that, you're going to accept certain things. This includes accepting others' views, our own lack of knowledge about a certain subject, other people's lack of knowledge about a certain subject that you happen to be a leading expert in. Also accept the reality that it is very, very difficult, if not impossible, to change other people's minds. That includes your partner, your kids, your coworkers, your friends, your family members. Mark Manson writes about this extensively, and I think we all owe ourselves to heighten our awareness and accept this reality that changing people's minds is next to impossible because we formulate these fixed and rigid beliefs that we carry through our lives with a great intensity, holding on, gripping really hard. A great example, and I know Mark writes about this in some of his newsletters and books, is look at the political spectrum. So you're sitting down with someone on the opposite end of the political spectrum and engaging in a heated debate, and deep down, your dying wish is to change their minds. It's just not going to happen. The chances are near nil. So don't waste your breath. Don't waste your energy. And I've had to learn this the hard way when it comes to the realm of health and fitness, where I've spent a lot of extra breath and energy and passion and intensity trying to reel someone in to my wonderful life of progressive health and diet and exercise and lifestyle fitness practices when they weren't necessarily interested or ready to receive the message. So Mia Moore likes to use that insight. Someone has to be ready to receive before you engage with them. And boy, trying to convince someone into even something as simple as evolving one's dietary practices to be more health conscious, not until they are ready to receive the message. It's almost like wait until someone raises their hand to engage with them. So here on this podcast, if you're watching, listening, I'm so happy to connect with you. This means that we can go on this journey together. We can fight the battle against the unsavory forces of conventional wisdom and conventional society and try to do something better and envision a better future. But we are agreeing to connect here. And so that's what makes it so wonderful. But if someone is not ready to receive, and oftentimes we do this with people close to us where we go onto our lecture soapbox, just remember with Mark Manson's confirmation that you are basically most likely wasting almost all of your energy. So that is accept things for what they are before responding. And now we get into the fourth one, which is do not judge, do not defend, and do not argue ever, right? Says Dave Rossi. What do you mean? Can we do that sometimes, Dave? Not if we want to be happy, right? Do not judge, do not defend, do not argue. Remind yourself, do not judge others as well as do not judge yourself and do not defend yourself. You do not need to defend yourself, Dave writes. Why are you defending yourself? Let's look at that for a moment. Is it to feed your ego? Quite possibly that's one of the highest things on the list when people are defending themselves. I notice that it's a reflexive habit that I have because I have a strong desire to see the world operate in a certain way. I want things to be the way I think they should be. Therefore, I'm defending my point of view or my opinion reflexively because I have such an incredible passion for everyone to live life the way that I think they should. Oh my gosh, what a terrible waste of energy and a way to become unhappy, frustrated, burnt out. So don't judge, don't defend, and don't argue. Arguing is attempting to change someone else's mind. Again, let's check in for a moment and ask, why are you attempting to change someone else's mind? Are you trying to get elected to public office and in a debate against your opponent? Okay, that's fine. We've all bought into that. And if we're observing the debate, that means we want to be part of the journey too. But otherwise, there's a lot of wasted energy arguing with others. And you might have to check in and ask, am I just feeding my ego again by engaging in this argument? You know how families revel in dinner table debate turning into a destructive argument, and they feel like it's just part of life. So let's go back to Deepak Chopra's quote and get rid of some of that emotional violence where things always escalate into argument rather than the productivity of a friendly debate and listening to other people's point of views without necessarily trying to force them to change your mind so that you can feel whole and feed your ego. So that's do not judge, defend, and argue. Next, check in with your real self and do not respond out of your conditioned self. And I assume conditioned self is talking about, as Bruce Lipton details in Biology of Belief, we operate 95 to 98% of the time from flawed subconscious programming. So we're just kind of triggered in every way, just going through life sort of in zombie mode, as he described on our podcast together. And so your conditioned self is what you always say when a comment comes up about whatever, about the weather, about something of a personal opinion or a conversation you're having. Instead, you want to kind of just get present and mindful and realize what's going on in real time rather than responding out of your conditioned self. So do not respond with a fear of the outcome. This, I think, is great advice for all areas of life. I've talked about this a lot in the perspective of my athletic career, where I had to work really hard to release the attachment of my self-esteem to the outcome of what I was doing. And when I was able to do that, I was able to ascend to a higher level of functioning as an athlete, where I would make the best decisions without fearing the outcome, without the fear of failure. I could really go for it without holding on to that fear of the outcome, and also without the fear of success, which is actually really common, especially in athletics, but also in other areas where you're secretly, deep down, below your conscious awareness, afraid of success because you are so consumed by the challenge that you won't know what to do with yourself if you do achieve your goals and dreams. And that's a big thing to overcome. And it's a negative drawback of being obsessed with the outcome. It might lead to some victories in your career or in the athletic realm, but it's a slippery slope when you are motivated by the end result rather than the appreciation of the process and doing your absolute best without attaching your self-esteem to the outcome. I like Tom Bilyeu's popular show. He's the prominent entrepreneur, and he talks about his insatiable competitive drive that prompted him to work 100 hours a week for years and years and want to become a billionaire, and then achieving all his wildest dreams and realizing that toning down that competitive intensity, even though it's so celebrated in modern life, toning that down in many ways is a better path to happiness, contentment, fulfillment, rather than being insatiably driven. And every time you achieve a goal, you, instead of celebrating and taking a breath, you just look at a bigger goal. And I think so many people fall into that trap. So check in with your real self and do not respond with fear of the outcome, either winning or losing. And also do not respond with concern for how others might view you. And Dave reminds us, yes, this takes vulnerability, because we are programmed from a very young age by society, by our families, by everyone around us, to care deeply how others view us. And that is a rough way to go. That's a recipe for emotional frailty and the ups and downs of whether you're getting enough likes on your social media content or not, or the ranking system or what have you. So to respond without concern for others, how others might view you, and just being your real and true self and being open, honest, authentic, that is a recipe for rising up to the next level of self-awareness and happiness and peace in life. Okay, next. This is number 6 on the list, I believe. Check in with your goals here. For example, the example that we started with, a potentially difficult, challenging conversation. Do you have any goals? If you don't, then get a nice goal, and that will help you decide what response gets closer to your goal. Here's a suggested goal from Dave. Happiness. This should be one of the primary goals of your life. And I love his one-liner advice here, where he says, in order to be happy, you have to get rid of the things that make you unhappy. And then you're left with a baseline state of happiness, right? The baby's born and gets his immediate needs met, and he's a happy creature until the layers of flawed societal programming start coming forth. And then you're buried underneath all these things that make you unhappy every single day. So check in with your goals and set that most prominent goal of being happy. Next and last on the list, ask yourself, based on applying all of the items above, what response do I need to give, delivered with love and compassion, to get closer to achieving my goals instead of further away? So if your goal is indeed to be happy, and I love the relationship quip here. I don't know who to attribute it to. I'm sure you've heard it before as it goes. Do you want to be right or do you want to be married? And so thinking about, boy, the influence of the ego, when you judge, defend, and argue, when you try to change other people's minds, and how we can unwind all that and say, hey, I just want to be happy, feel connected, feel fulfilled, feel satisfied. That can help frame your responses rather than living in a constant and never-ending stream of reactivity. So thank you so much for the inspiration from Dave Rossi, author of The Imperative Habit. You can hear more of us on our 4 or 5 podcasts that we've published on the BRAD podcast, including the episode where he interviewed me. That was super fun, turning the tables. And a quick review. Number one, at the onset of stimulus or conversation, stop and grab the moment in time. So instead of reacting, process, plan, and think. Number two, observe the emotions, determine the emotion and the thought driving it. As Dan Millman would say, view your emotions like the passing of the clouds. Number three, accept things for what they are before responding. This includes other people's ignorance and stubbornness. Accept that's how it goes when you're dealing with this person, and realize with Mark Manson's support here that the chances of changing someone's mind is really infinitesimal in most cases. Next, number four, do not judge, defend, or argue. Check in with your ego. Are you just feeding your ego when you're doing these reflexive behaviors? And find a better path than judging, including judging yourself, defending, or arguing. Next, check in with your real self and do not respond out of your conditioned self. Also, do not respond with fear of the outcome or concern for how others might view you. Number six, check in with your goals. Do you have any goals here? Well, then get one. And the recommended one is the goal of being happy rather than being right. And then finally, based on applying all the items above, including your goal of being happy, for example, what response do I need to give, delivered with love and compassion, to get closer to achieving my goal rather than further away? Do you want to be right or do you want to be married? And boy, all this stuff seems so simple and doable, but I think that we fall behind when we allow the reactive behaviors to take over and our propensity, for example, to judge, defend, and argue. So the next time you judge, defend, or argue, watch yourself in action. You don't have to punish yourself and consider yourself a loser because you didn't adhere to the recommendations, but just watch and observe and realize with the outcome that you're getting further and further from your goal of feeling happy, connected, peaceful, fulfilled, and instead just replaying and hardwiring these flawed and dysfunctional patterns into our brains. So it's about reprogramming and bringing more awareness into it. And good luck with everything. Thank you so much for listening. Listen to this show twice a year for the next 10 years and you'll be better off.
Hey, ladies. You may have heard me talk about Gaines Wave treatment for improving male penile vascular health and sexual function, and maybe you thought, hey, what about my needs? Well, Gaines Wave has got you covered with a revolutionary new treatment protocol called Gaines Wave for Her. As with the male Gaines Wave treatment, a skilled practitioner uses a handheld device to send low-intensity shock waves into your vaginal area to stimulate a healing response, promote increased blood circulation, and the growth of new blood vessels. After a series of 6 to 12 very brief treatments, which are painless but extremely effective, you get real results with Gaines Wave reporting an 80% success rate. Some benefits. You will revitalize your intimate relationships with heightened sensation and arousal and enhanced pleasure and satisfaction. Don't contemplate invasive procedures or uncomfortable medical treatments. Regain confidence and reclaim your sexuality with Gaines Wave for Her. You visit the website gainswave.com, GAINSWAVE.com/Brad, to find a practitioner in your area. You complete a series of treatments, and the beneficial effects will last for a long time, especially if you eat and exercise well to promote overall vascular health. It's a tune-up for your equipment, so please visit gainswave.com/Brad to find a practitioner in your area and take advantage of my special promo that you'll mention when you find your local practitioner. Buy 6 treatments and get one free. thank you for listening to the show. I love sharing the experience with you and greatly appreciate your support. Please email podcast@bradventures.com with feedback, suggestions, and questions for the Q&A shows. Subscribe to our email list at bradkearns.com for a weekly blast about the published episodes and a wonderful bi-monthly newsletter edition with informative articles and practical tips for all aspects of healthy living. You can also download several awesome free ebooks when you subscribe to the email list. And if you could go to the trouble to leave a 5 or 5-star review with Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to the shows, that would be super incredibly awesome. It helps raise the profile of the BRAD podcast and attract new listeners. And did you know that you can share a show with a friend or loved one by just hitting a few buttons in your player and firing off a text message? My awesome podcast player called Overcast allows you to actually record a soundbite excerpt from the episode you're listening to and fire it off with a quick text message. Thank you so much for spreading the word. And remember, be rad.